Bibles and you're still with me. Hopefully you have your Bibles, your device, whatever you're going there. You're sitting in your recliner, your chair. Some of us are sitting in pews, and I'm thankful for those that have come out. But to wherever you're at, if you're listening or tuning in or watching, I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 this morning. Like I said earlier, we are in a series. Our vision for this year, we have a kind of like a vision statement you're kind of interested in for 2023. And our vision statement is, "But continue thou." And the thought or that phrase is taken from the Word of God, and it's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Now, our text for the message this morning is going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 13, but I want to give you this verse where we got the thought or the phrase, "But continue thou." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And so we took the first part, "But continue thou." And so that is our theme for Hope Baptist Church for this year, continuing. And we have begun a series on continuing in the Word, continue in the Word of God. We want to always continue to know that we need to not only read it, but study it to cherish the words of God. They were left for you and I. And they were left, these are the thoughts, these are the commandments, the statutes of God. And so we see that he upholds his word. As I mentioned in the weeks before in this series, that God holds his word above his very name, the Bible says. It states that heaven and earth shall pass away, but he said, "My word shall not pass away." We not only preached a message on the word, but we preached one on continue in faith. We were looking at the faith, and we broke faith down simply, looking at salvation faith. We looked at stewardship faith, and we looked at serving faith. And then last week we looked at continue in love, and we looked at the love that we have or should have for the Word of God, for God, and for the brethren, as the Bible commands us time and time again for Christian people to have a love for one another. And so we see we'll continue with that. This morning it's continue in charity. Now charity is a word known for love in action. It's not just an emotion. Love is not an emotion, it's a choice. And so the Bible, as it lays it out, is very, very keen on how it lays it out. And we're going to look at that this morning. And so if you found your place, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, notice with me, and we'll read down through verse 1. We'll read the whole chapter, I believe. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now the Apostle Paul is dealing with a problem here that the Corinthian church has had. They've had a number of issues in this church. I have been taught years gone by that you would not find a problem in a church that was not talked about or addressed in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians together. So notice as he begins to deal with this, and it is dealing with spiritual gifts. Some are stationary, they're going to stay, and some are just here for a while. When the Apostle Paul walked this earth, we had gifts, spiritual gifts that were just non-stationary. They were here, they were with the apostles, and as the apostles passed off the scene and the word of God actually became a canon and was completed, you have some of these stepping off the scene. But nonetheless, he's dealing with one that we're going to look at this morning, and it's called charity. And charity is the greatest of all spiritual gifts. So let's read in verse 1. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, I have not charity, and have not charity. I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and thought, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing." Now notice here, this is addressed in the first person. This is the Apostle Paul stating what he's able to do. But if he's lacking charity, he is nothing. Now verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." Verse 4, "Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fall away, or they shall fail. Whether there be in tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For I know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, and he says, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We ask that you would again be with your word, and Father, be with the preaching of your word as it goes out. Use me as a spokesperson. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Now be with our hearts, and I pray that the Holy Spirit be able to do his work in our lives. And Father, I pray that we would get a grip and hold on to it, that we should continue in charity this morning. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So here, dealing with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you read the first epistle to the Corinthians, you'll discover them to be a group of immature believers who were argumentative, carnal-minded, discontented, immoral, inconsiderate, unloving, self-inflated, selfish, and critical of others. You'll find this in this epistle. They were set apart unto God, however, and positioned in Christ, according to Scripture, and eternally secure, according to what the Apostle Paul wrote. They were not maturing in their spiritual walk. This was a problem. Paul calls them carnally minded. And he says this, and he calls them, if you look back at the third chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, he states this, "For ye are yet carnal. For as there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" And so he was dealing again with a situation that they needed to come along. They needed to mature. I find in churches, kind of young, but have grown up in it under a pastor as my father, in dealing with ministry as an early age, you always see the struggle in churches and in Christians that they needed to come along spiritually. It was never that, hey, let's put the brakes on this. You're growing too fast spiritually. Or you're maturing too fast. It was never that way. It was always the cart before the horse, or trying to get something going in the lives of the Christian people. It was always dragging by, and they were more often than not carnally minded. And we find that today, as we're reading about here in 1 Corinthians, dealing with a problem that they had. But let's zero in on some of these verses and notice with me, Paul begins to list the qualities that are found in charity, which were so lacking in the lives of these carnal believers here at Corinth. We see there are 17 characters of charity. 8 are positive and 9 are negative. And you notice if you've heard me preach or teach at all, I always like the contrast, the negative, the positive, or the contrast, and it gives a good way to teach the Word of God. And we see this, the positive and the negative of these character or attributes of charity. And I've broken this down 3 ways, tried to simplify it. We're going to look at what charity gives. We'll see that in verse 3. Secondly, we're going to look at what charity does. What charity does, and we're going to look at what charity doesn't do. And so that's what we'll be looking at this morning. But notice with me in verse number 3, it says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So here he's saying, now look, if I'm an individual who is putting it all on the line, basically for God or for myself or whatever, and I bestow all my goods, I give all my goods to feed the poor, I give it all. And though I give my body to be burned, that's quite a sacrifice. That's quite a sacrifice. And have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. And so we see here that you could do all these great works, even give your life, and you have not charity, it's not going to be a profit to you. And we see, first of all, what charity gives out of verse 3. We see charity gives a profit. If you are motivated, if you function as a child of God in charity, love in action, and it's a sacrificial love, by the way. Let's define charity just a little bit more for the sake of the message. Charity is love, it's action, but it's sacrificial. It's done without receiving any reward at all, and it's totally sacrificial, and it's giving. And so it's a heart motive, and it's towards God. And we see that it gives, it is able to give a profit, because if you're working or do these works in the name of God but have not charity, it profiteth you nothing. So charity gives. If you're operating in charity and you do these works for God, I'm speaking in the context of after salvation now, not to get saved, not to stay saved, but you're doing this love in action because you are saved, because you love Christ, because you love His Word, because you love His faith, and you love that He first loved you. And so we see that if you do this, that charity gives a profit. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, he says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." And so you say, what? That's the heart of charity. It's easy to tell somebody that you love them. It's another thing to go out of your way to do something for them or to help them or to show your love towards them. And so charity, we want to continue in charity, especially in this new year. I believe that charity is one of the greatest things lacking, not only in Christian and individual Christian lives, but it's lacking in our churches across the land. I can for sure say that it's lacking in our country and its value system, that is quickly, what little is left is going down the drain. And so we see that we need to continue in charity. Not only does charity give a profit, but there's something else that charity does. Look at with me in verse 4. Verse 4 in our text, and it says, "Charity suffereth long and is kind." So we see that charity suffereth long. I begin to envision myself in a situation with maybe another brother, or maybe not a brother, but maybe a lost person that I'm dealing with or working alongside. It might even be because it says suffering long would be somebody that I doesn't normally or necessarily want to spend time with or be around. And it's going to take some suffering long. And charity, this is what charity is. Charity suffereth long and is kind. You think, wow, I didn't know about this definition of charity, but if you read these verses, you're going to find that the Bible defines what charity is. And we're seeing this, what charity does. Well, it suffereth long, first of all. Secondly, it's kind. I was told this, and I like this. When you're in a situation, when you have a situation to hold to the letter of the law or rule or commandment or whatever, or you have the situation, you can show compassion. Dealing with an individual, and you're uncertain, always choose compassion. And I thought that was interesting, because sometimes you'll find yourself there. Well, I understand what the Bible says. I understand what I said. I understand what the rule might be. But every situation is a little bit different. If you're uncertain, choose compassion. Here the Bible, speaking of charity, charity suffereth long and is kind. It is always kind. It is always suffering long. And as Christians, we are lack in this suffering long. We lack in this attribute of being kind, especially one towards another. And so we see that we are in lack of this charity. This is what charity gives you and I. It's what it does. That's not all, but look at verse 4 again. So we have, charity suffereth long and is kind, but it goes on. Charity envieth not. Oh my. In the world that we live in today, we think we have to have everything that we see. We think we have to have everything that our flesh or our life or our desires think it has to have. And so we get into this rut, this evil habit of envying something that really we don't even need. And we can get along without, we can live without. And so here it says, charity envieth not. That's a hard one, especially when you're preaching to Americans, and we seem to have everything. I know there's people that don't think they have anything, and they always complain about what they don't have. But if they were to go to a third world country and see how the average person live, you would find real quickly that you're living as a king or a queen in America, and you're living with more than what we actually deserve. And here it's saying that charity envieth not. Are you an envious Christian this morning? You shouldn't be. And here we want charity. We want to continue in this, so we don't need to be envious of other things or other people. And so here he says, charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. I need the preeminence. I need to be in front. I need to be in front of the line. I need to go first. I'm the person that needs to do that. I'm the person that you need to see for this. I'm that person. And so we hear and we see that he says, look, charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't flash or show itself. It doesn't have to always be the first one. It always have to be the loudest. It doesn't always have to be the one that's got to get up and say something or give their two cents. It's not vaunting itself. So we see that it's charity. There are many modes that Christians, you and I, that we find ourselves in a situation to where we can smile, keep our mouth shut and pray, or we can step up and put our two cents in, and sometimes it's not even worth it. And we get into a habit of wanting to vaunt ourselves, and that's not charity. I'm saying this morning, we would do well to continue in charity. It's the greatest of all the spiritual gifts. And so we see that it vaunteth not itself. It goes on. It says it's not puffed up. Puffed up. That's somebody who thinks they've arrived. That's somebody who thinks something of themselves when they're not. And the Bible has a lot to say with somebody who is full of pride. Pride is one of the original sins. You look at an individual, Lucifer, that was created. It says that iniquity was found in him, and it was pride. He was in love with himself. A prideful person's got to be in love with themselves, be in love with their attributes, be in love with what they think they can do. And they think they're a couple notches above everybody else. So pride enters in. Take heed if you have pride, because what happens is you're going to stumble and you're going to fall according to the scripture. Here, charity is saying that it's not puffed up. It doesn't puff itself up. And so we see this list as we're looking what charity does. Well, it doesn't puff itself up. Fifthly, look at verse 5. It says, doth not behave itself unseemly. Now, as we get into this, we're looking at what charity doesn't do. So it envieth not, and it vaunteth not itself, and it's not puffed up. So we're looking at what charity doesn't do in verse 4, and then we see it as it continues in verse 5. It says, does not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly means you want to take care of the situation that you find yourself in. Whether you're by yourself, your true character comes out with what you find yourself doing when you're by yourself, or when you're with other people, and you want to make sure that you behave yourself correctly. Charity behaves itself correctly. It has some ethics. It has some decorum about itself. Where I grew up, in the home I grew up in, you said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Or you got slapped. There's been times when I've worked for customers or clients in the past, and they say, well, you don't have to call me sir. You don't have to call me ma'am. I said, I understand that. Thank you for telling me that. But it's just a habit that I have. I'll do my best by calling you by your first name or however you want to be addressed. But there should be some decorum about you. There should be some ethics about you when you come to the house of God, wherever you're at. Not just the house of God, but wherever you're at. It should be taught in homes to our children. And so here, charity is one that doesn't behave itself unseemly. Now watch this. He goes on in verse 5 about charity doesn't do. He said, seek if not her own. And I thought, wow, we always, when we want something or desire something or seek something, we always put ourselves ahead of the line. Why don't you let everybody else go first? Why don't you put others before yourself? This is what charity teaches us to do. And I find it amazing that we'll be the first at a dinner line. We'll be the first to get out of church. We'll be the first to get out of the parking lot. We'll be the first ones, whatever. Because we think we're something when we're not. And here he says, look, he's saying, not only do you should behave yourself unseemly, don't do that, but he said, seek not her own, is not easily provoked. How quickly, in just a few words, saying the right thing, you're instantly provoked on, like, I don't like that. I don't think that's right. And so you're quickly, instantly looking, you're auditing or monitoring what is said, preached, taught, or said to you in counsel or advice, and you strike it down because you're easily provoked. Charity, I'm saying this morning, Christians, you and I, we need to continue in this greatest gift, which is charity. Continue in charity. And he said, so here it's not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. How many times have you had somebody say something to you and you begin to ponder on it and think on it and you begin to run it, your imagination runs it into the evil category? Well, they did this or they didn't do that or they're saying that. How many times have you read a book or read a letter? Or you heard something or somebody told you something or you watched something. And so you say, what happens? Well, thinketh no evil. This morning, you shouldn't be thinking about evil things. We shouldn't be. Charity tells us that charity doesn't think, thinketh no evil. Now, he gets back into what it does. Watch verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Iniquity, wow. When we look at iniquity, moral wrongful acts. Our society is teaching the young generations that it's definitely okay, and they're rejoicing in the iniquity, these wrongful, sinful acts in our society. And you got a whole litany list of them. And here, the Bible's saying that charity doesn't do this. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Look, if you're a Christian and you find yourself rejoicing or enjoying what the culture puts out as being okay or being right, you've got problems. You've got a heart problem. And when you look at what the Bible says about that, he says you don't need to be doing that. You need to be simple concerning evil, wise concerning good. That's what the Bible says. That's a principle we use in our Christian school. Simple concerning evil, wise concerning truth and good. And so here, charity runs along those lines in verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but he says, but rejoiceth in truth. Rejoiceth in truth. Here we find that it's something that it does. It rejoiceth in truth. Now look at verse 7. Now watch, we go back to their second point, what charity does. And notice it says, beareth all things. Charity beareth all things. Well, I ain't going to put up with that. I've had enough of that. I don't have the patience for that. I'm sick and tired of them saying this, saying that, or whatever the case may be. Well, here, you're definitely not using charity, my friend. It says here, beareth all things. How much patience do you have? How much forbearing do you have? Well, if you're using the attribute of the greatest spiritual gift, charity, you're going to bear all things, according to verse 7. Not only beareth all things, watch this, believeth all things. I've come as I got a little older, there were times in my life when somebody would tell me something, I didn't believe them. Let me give you an illustration, an example. There would be people come up to me and say, well, I don't believe the Bible for this reason or that reason. And I'd say, no, you do believe the Bible. I would not be listening to what was being told to me. And now as I get older, when somebody says, no, I had this happen to me. I've seen this or I've read this. I believe them. Doesn't mean that they're right. You understand? You know, people's wives saw this, I saw that. I believe you probably did. It doesn't mean that it's right because you did it. You're not the epitome of truth. The Word of God is the truth. And so you have things that you hear people have experiences of or do or don't or believe. I have a tendency to believe what I'm being told or what I hear. Now, just because you're hearing it and receiving what they're saying doesn't mean that it's true. Here, the Word of God, charity, listen, charity in verse 7, believeth all things. He's saying believeth all things. He goes on, hopeth all things. Charity, that's love in action. This is the attributes. This is what charity does. And so if you want to know how you should conduct yourself in this greatest gift, this is one that hadn't come off the scene. This is the one that was not going to fade away. Charity wasn't in the list of those stationary, non-stationary gifts. Charity is around today, and we enjoy this gift, but we have to be willing to activate and work inside charity. We have to use charity. Put on charity, the Bible says. And so we see beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I'm just not going to endure it. The Bible speaks of a huge group of people that would not endure sound doctrine in the last days. And they would heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to listen to that person over there, listen to that person over there, go to that church over there, go to this church over here. And he says they're not going to endure sound doctrine. And so we see here that charity is not that. It's a contrast or contrary to that belief or that that way or mode of Christianity. And it says here that it endureth all things. Now watch. Watch lastly. Watch verse 8. Watch verse 8. Charity never faileth. So if you're wondering in this great spiritual gift that every child of God has the ability to use, and so here it's going to tell you something about charity. Charity never faileth, but whether there will be prophecies, the prophesying is going to fail. It's going to cease. They shall fail. And it goes on in verse 8, whether there will be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there will be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Why? Well, there's a number of reasons why, but nonetheless, he didn't break that down. I want you to zero in on charity never faileth. It doesn't go away. It's here. And so we're looking at what charity does. I'm saying this morning we'd do us well if we continue in charity. This morning, looking just simply at our text, we kind of just took a verse-by-verse look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 dealing with this greatest gift. He said the greatest of all is charity. And so we see, look at verse 13 with me as we conclude this message and we look here. He says here, in verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly. There's things that it's looking through a glass that's not totally clear. We have the Word of God, but a lot of stuff in the Bible hasn't come to pass yet. And so we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. You say, when is that? That's when God calls us home. That's when God catches away his bride and we're in heaven. He says, now I know in part. There's still a lot of things we don't know about. And I'll be the first one to tell you, there's a lot of stuff in the Bible we just don't understand quite. But then shall I know even as I am known. And so he's speaking of a time that will come. That's the glorification part. And that's the time when God will change our vile bodies into a glorious body. And we'll have the full mind of Christ. And we'll know things. Okay, watch verse 13. He says, and now abideth faith, now. He's looking into the future in verse 12, but now in verse 13, he sticks with the present. This is where you and I are at in time. This is where, if you're listening this morning and watching, this is where you're at in time. He says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, a sacrificial love in action. And so the attributes of charity is what we looked at this morning out of these 17 characteristics. You say, well, what happened to the Corinthian church? Whatever happened to them with all those problems that they had? Well, a lot of them got straightened out. A lot of them got corrected by 2 Corinthians, and he gets into some of it. But the church grows spiritually. My prayer, my desire for Hope Baptist is that we would grow, continue to grow, and continue in charity this morning. So hopefully that's been a blessing. Hopefully you're able to take this and to use it, maybe to adjust some of these things. Maybe it's to get into the Word and see, you know what, there's something for me to do. You say, what can I do in church? What can I do here? Well, look at this. There's a lot that you could do just with the attributes of your mind and your heart right here in this portion of Scripture, dealing with continue in charity. Let's all bow our heads. We're going to pray. Then I'll have one of the ladies come back and play a song for us and take us out of this virtual service that we have this morning. I thank you for tuning in, but let us bow in prayer and thank God for what He's given us this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we pray before You this morning. I thank You for Your Word, Father, all that we see an attribute here, Father, in this gift that You've given. And You said that You give gifts to men upon Your resurrection. And Father, we thank You for those gifts, but here to have and be willing to use this greatest gift, charity, love in action. Father, I pray that we would take this to heart, that we would see that we need to do more for You because we love You, because You're worthy of this praise and glory. And Father, I pray that You would be in each and every heart that has heard the message this morning. I pray that You would work in their heart to be and to continue in charity. Now be with our prayer petition. Be with the rest of our day. And Father, we thank You for the safety. We ask that You would go with us as we make the decisions for today in services. Just grant Your will and Your blessing. Be with our day. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen. God bless you. This concludes our virtual service.